Turn in your Bible tonight to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 11 as we learn where to place our love and how to discern in this time in which we're living. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I don't know about you, but I want to make excellent decisions in my life. I don't always do that. I have not always done that, but it's my desire to approve things that are excellent. It's my desire to have a discerning love. You know, oftentimes when pressure comes into our life, when changes come into our life, it's easy to make wrong decisions. Those decisions may be financial. Those decisions may be relational. But when we're out of our normal schedule, or when we're in a period of lethargy or anxiety, we can begin to make decisions that are not discerning decisions. Now, a few weeks ago, we began looking at the book of Philippians. In fact, about 2 months ago now, before the COVID virus, we were studying the ramifications of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. In fact, Paul said in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And the gospel truly changes everything. It changes our eternal destiny. It changes our inner motivation. It's because of the gospel we know we're accepted, forgiven, sanctified, and justified. But it's also because of the gospel that we begin to make decisions differently. We want our decisions to be centered upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He's challenging them to be centered in their decision-making on the truths of the gospel. I want you to notice this as it pertains to love. You see, the Bible says here in verse number 9, that your love may abound with all knowledge and judgment. Now, make no mistake about the fact, God wants us to be abounding in love. And the word abounding means continuing constantly with the spirit of love. But God does not want us to place our affection on every social media site, every religious teacher on social media. He does not want us to place our affection on every opportunity, perhaps, that presents itself in work or even for leisure or for friendship. He wants us to discern before we love. Loving discernment and discerning love is the theme of the message tonight. In fact, God says, I want you to learn how to abound yet more and more with your love. But notice there in verse number 9, he says, in knowledge and in judgment. And so tonight we're going to learn how, first of all, to excel in knowledge. You see, if we are going to have the discernment of love, then we must excel in biblical knowledge. Now, knowledge here speaks about that which is ethical and divine. We need to have a knowledge that is from above, not that which comes from this earth, that which is, as the Bible describes it, as sensual or devilish or fleshly, but that we would have knowledge that is heavenly. One author said what Paul wrote about is divine in its nature and in its origin. Paul petitioned God to provide the Philippians with more of the love that comes only from Him. So because of the gospel, we have Christ as our Savior. We have the ability to walk with the mind of Jesus Christ. And oh, we need His mind in every decision. I pray for His mind for our church, and I pray for His mind as we engage this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4 and verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, God first loved us, but now He's telling us to love others and to abound in love. Yet Christian love is not unguarded. Now, I know some folks get tired of hearing about discernment or judgment, or having some type of a standard that guides love. After all, we live in the free love society. But wait a minute. God says, no, when it comes to marriage, I have a boundary. God says, when it comes to raising children, I have boundaries. when it comes to making decisions, I want you to know that I have given you discernment and I've given you knowledge and judgment, and I want you to walk in the boundaries of knowledge and judgment. You see, it's so important that we're not guided by our emotions, by our feelings, but that we are guided by the principles of the gospel. And I find sometimes in these days we can get emotional. People get frustrated. They want to get emotional about the government. The government wants to get emotional about the citizens. People want to get emotional about work. And I'm going to tell you something about emotions. When we make decisions in a difficult emotional time, we normally will make the wrong decision. I heard the story about a girl named Mary. She was having a tough day. She stretched herself out on the couch, and she was taking a bit of well-deserved rest. But she was complaining. She was being emotional. She had a lot of self-pity that day. And she moaned to her mom. She said, "Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me." Her brother walked by. She said, "Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me." And her brother stopped when she said that and looked at his sister Mary. He said, "That's not true, Mary. Some people don't even know you." Now, the fact of the matter is that all of us are going to have down times. But I want to encourage our church family and our friends watching tonight. Don't make major decisions in your down time. When your health is down, when your job is down, when your marriage is going through a difficult time. That's not when you make your decision. Someone said it is more from carelessness about truth than from intentional lying that there is so much falsehood in the world. In other words, we just begin to live a careless life, and soon a new reality develops that is not according to the judgment and the knowledge of God. We must excel in knowledge, and we need God's knowledge. That's why we're opening the Bible tonight. God, teach me. And we need God's judgment. This speaks of the ability to discern moral and ethical matters. You see, love is not blind. Love should have the ability to discern good from evil, right from wrong, ethical from non-ethical. Author Kent Hughes once said, "Today there is an urgent truth shortage. There was a time in Western culture when people distinguished from other cultures by at least a conventional outward sense of obligation to tell the truth. But now there is a pervasive indifference to truth-telling, and this has not only infected day-to-day conversation, but all aspects of life." You see, God wants us to love the truth. He wants us to seek the truth, especially in making major decisions of our life. I want you to turn in your Bible right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And wherever you are there, just turn in your Bible and maybe share it with your family or friends. And notice what the Bible tells us here about wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Now, I said at the beginning that the gospel makes the difference in decision making. Why do we say that? Because someone that has no faith in Christ, someone that does not understand the gospel, has no ability to make a spiritual decision. The natural man discerneth not the things of the Spirit of God. But when you got saved, the Spirit of God took up residence in you. And there is no reason that we should go with our gut feeling. There is no reason that we should just do what comes natural or what we want to do. When we have the opportunity to seek spiritual knowledge and judgment, and church family, let's be making spiritual decisions during this time so that when we come back to the house of God, we'll all be headed in the right direction and for the glory of God. This must be a discerning love as we live in this time. We must walk with discernment. Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, said, "Discernment is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it is telling the difference between right and almost right." You know what I have found when it comes to decision making and counseling? I have found in counseling people that want to do something are going to rationalize a way to make it sound right, feel right, or look right. It's easy to do that. We all are experts at it. But when you come down to these major decisions of life, you don't want to go with your own rationalization. You want to say, as the psalmist, search me and try me, O God. You want to recognize that our heart is deceitful and that we can convince ourselves unknowingly right out of the will of God. What we want to say is, God, give me your knowledge. Give me your judgment in this hour that I might stay on the right path. So we see there is the discernment of love. God says, I want you to abound in love with all knowledge and judgment. I'm not preaching against love. I'm preaching for it. Let us love one another. Let us love lost souls. Let us love the church. Let us love our families. But let us have God's wisdom along the way. There's the discernment of love. But I want you to notice, secondly tonight, the deciding of love. You see, biblically guided love will lead me to make right decisions. Now notice that in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Oh, that we would have every teenager listening and watching tonight to approve things that are excellent. I'm talking about your social media use with your friends. I'm talking about your television. I'm talking about your dating and courtship, that you would approve things that are excellent. I'm talking about your plans for the future, that you would seek the face of God in these matters. And so we see that there is to be a deciding of love. What are we deciding, Pastor? We're deciding, first of all, what is genuine? What is genuine? You ever wondered about that? Maybe you have in a dating relationship wondered, is this the real thing? Maybe you've had someone give you a sampling of some cola and you're trying to discern, is this Coke? Is this Pepsi? What is this? Is this the real thing? And God says, I want you to have the ability to decide. And how do we do that? He says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Now, I make no apology for the fact that with our children, raising our children, we made decisions for them. We approved what was right and what was wrong. In our school, our Christian school, and even some in the college, we have guidelines and boundaries, and that's a part of having an institution of education. But God is bringing us to a point whereby when we are not in a Christian school, when we are not with our Sunday school class, that when we are alone in our home or when we are out at work, that we can still approve and do that which is right by the presence of God within us, that we can make those right decisions. The deciding of love, it is to be approving that which is genuine. In the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today. There was no paper money, really. And all the money was made from metal, heated into liquid, poured into molds, and then cooled down. And when the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges of those coins. The coins were comparatively soft, and as they were soft, they would begin a shaving process. And many people shaved them so closely that in one century, during the rule in Athens, that there was a law passed to stop shaving down the coins and then putting them into circulation. And some of the money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine, full-weighted coins into circulation. These men were called dokimos, or approved. So in this ancient Athenian period, those coins that were used were the coins that were full. They had the full amount of silver, and they had the proper weight. They were not shaven off to create the semblance of genuineness. They were the full coin, dokimos. And God says, I want you to have that level of genuineness. I don't want you just to have the appearance of the coin. I want you to have the weight and the stability of truth. And this is what God means when he tells us in verse 2, to approve things that are excellent. You've studied that verse in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. God is looking for people who will take this decision-making process seriously, who will not place their love on something just because the grass looks greener, if you will. He says in verse 10, I want you to approve things that are excellent, things that are of the most importance. Listen, things that have eternal value. And I don't care if you're 6, 16, 60, or 80. We ought to live our entire life for things of eternal value, things that have an excellent value. Oh, listen, friend, you can do that in so many ways, but you'll never do it without the guiding judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The decisions must be made by His given values. We must learn how to approve, how to test. You know, outside of Rosamond, up by the Willow Creek Raceway, there's a gold mine up in the hills. Those gold miners, they have to flood the mine with water and bring the ore up, and then they have to assay it and they have to test it before they ship it off to market to make sure that it is genuine. Well, how can we know that our decisions are genuine? How can we know that our heart's motive is genuine? I want to give you a few quick thoughts, and if you have some paper there, you might want to jot these down. How can we approve things that are excellent? Number one, we need to test them by the Holy Spirit of God. We need to ask God, God, give me peace about this matter. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, we were sometimes darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. We are to walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, watch this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We need to lay out our relationships. Lord, is this relationship acceptable to you? Lord, is this philosophy coming from this teacher acceptable to you? Lord, is this job acceptable to you? And we must be willing to let the Holy Spirit prove and try our heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, proving all things. In other words, we should not just make an impulsive purchase, an impulsive decision, but testing all of these things according to the leading of God. Romans 12 teaches us that we're to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight of God. So we must test our decisions by the Spirit of God. Secondly, we must test our decisions by the Scriptures. By the Scriptures. How do we know what is genuine? By the Spirit's leading and by the Scriptures. The Bible says in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. We're never going to know what is genuine without the leading of the Holy Spirit and without the teaching of the Scripture. So we want to know, what is genuine? What is genuine? And secondly, we want to know, what is pure? What is pure? Now notice that in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now notice that word sincere. The word sincere speaks of unsullied, not spoiled, found pure. God says, I want you to examine in the light of the Scripture your decision. I want you, before you decide, I think of the dating relationships. The Bible's fairly clear. Be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. I do not believe a believer should have a dating relationship with an unbeliever. I believe those decisions should not be emotional. They should be a biblical love with judgment and knowledge so that we would be sincere and without offense. And when we make decisions that are based on our emotion or our will, there will not be a spiritual fruit that is resulting from that decision. So God says we need to have a deciding love, a love that is genuine and a love that is pure in its basis. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12, for our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that is simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have heard our conversation in this world and more abundantly to you word. Our decisions are to be based on not fleshly wisdom, but on the wisdom that is from above. Years ago, Theodore Roosevelt spent some time as a rancher. Teddy Roosevelt loved the outdoors, and he would lasso the cows, and he would spend time out on the open fields. And as he was with some of the cow punchers, they lassoed a maverick and a steer. Also, they had lassoed in their roundup there. and they lit a fire and prepared the branding irons. And the part of the range they were on was once claimed by a man by the name of Gregor Lange, one of Roosevelt's neighbors. And according to the cattleman's rule, the steer that would come across from that property obviously belonged to Lange. And as his cowboy was applying a brand, Roosevelt said, wait a minute, that should be Lange's brand. That's all right, boss, said the cowboy. He said, if you put your brand on it, then we'll own it, he said to Roosevelt. Roosevelt said to the man as they were there rounding up the steers and doing the branding, he said, drop that iron. Roosevelt demanded. He said, get out of this ranch. I don't need you anymore. He said, a man that will steal for me will steal from me. You see, here Roosevelt was displaying what we're talking about in verse number 10, sincere and without offense. Roosevelt wanted to see his neighbor and not have guilt, not have pause. And if you are making a decision in your life that's causing you at times to have guilt or pause, you can't look your wife in the eye. You can't look your husband in the eye. You can't look spiritual friends in the eye without a pause. Then you know that that decision is not a decision that is bound in the love and discernment of God. You see, Philippians 2:15 says that ye might be blameless and harmless. Friend, don't make an unwise decision during this time of social distancing. We must have the discernment of love, and we must make decisions based upon the love of God. I see the discernment of love in this verse number 9. That I would grow in knowledge and judgment. I see the deciding of love, that I would approve things that are excellent. But notice finally tonight, the delivering of love. You see, biblical love will deliver. Notice how we see this in verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Now here we see the product of righteousness, and it is fruit from the inward heart. Fruit from the inward heart. Notice, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. When you make a decision that is based on the leading of the Spirit and the Word of God, a decision of integrity, not duplicity, there will be the deliverance of fruit from your life. There will be more souls saved. There will be more faithfulness seen. There will be the joy of the Lord. There won't be this cowering around. There won't be this hiding from what you did. There won't be this having to explain it over and over again or talking your family into why it would be okay. No. When you make the right decision in your life, the fruit of it will be so obvious to all who will see. And sometimes we see people making decisions and these decisions do not lead to fruit. They do not lead to peace. And you know, you oftentimes hear people say, well, you know, I can make this decision. I'm under grace. I can do what I want to do. No one has to tell me. And yet, it's interesting to me that grace is oftentimes not calling us to a mission field. It's not calling us to witness. It's not calling us to fruitfulness. I want to tell you that if you're growing in grace and you're making gospel-based decisions, the result will be lives changed, a righteousness seen, communities affected for the glory of God. That is how the gospel decision will make its impact. Galatians 5 speaks of this fruit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of an inward heart. And then there's the fruit of an outward action. Philippians 1:22. The Bible says, but if we live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I wot not. You see, the fruit of your life will either be from fleshly decisions or spiritual decisions. But when you have a love that's guided by wisdom, there will be much fruit seen in your life. There will be this product of fruit. I think about our missionaries, the Keks, over in Papua New Guinea. As they were guided by the knowledge and wisdom of God, their love for people was guided by the Spirit to missions. And the fruit of that is seen in over a quarter of a decade of faithfulness to the Lord. The same could be said of the Sissons and the Rices in the Philippines and Brother Rick Martin. And I believe all of us should be able to say that as I grow in wisdom, God, I want to grow in fruitfulness as well, the product of righteousness. And when you are showing forth a product of good decision-making, there will then also be praise that comes to God. People will say, praise God we made that right decision. Praise God I didn't make that purchase when I was so discouraged. Praise God I didn't start dating that guy because I was lonely. Praise God I had this good friendship that developed. What do you mean by praise God, Pastor? Notice if you would. In verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Hey, let me ask you a question right now. Do you want your life to bring glory and praise to God? Then we need to make right decisions during COVID-19. We don't need to get in this escapist mentality. We don't need to find ourselves wasting this time. We need to find ourselves with discernment and knowledge, loving what God wants us to love. And I want to encourage you today, love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. All of us, let us love the church, for Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Listen, friend, all of these things are going to lead us downward. But when we love what God would have us to love, then glory will resound unto him. Isn't it great when you see a teenager that loves what God loves? Isn't it great when you see a family that loves what God loves? Oh, when you want to live for the Lord and bring praise to him, souls will come to Christ. That will bring praise to him. John 15 in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Even during this time, we can send tracts through email. We can be telling others about Jesus Christ. Our life can bring glory to God. 2 Peter 2 and 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as an evildoer, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Very simple tonight, friends. If our love is not bounded in discernment, if we're not making right decisions, we will never bring honor and glory to God. There must be the discernment of love with all knowledge and judgment. There must be the deciding of love, approving things that are excellent. And there must be the delivering of love, the deliverance of fruit and the deliverance of glory to God. So tonight, we're really talking about making right decisions, aren't we? And there might be someone that's listening that needs to make the most important decision that you've ever made. You need the guidance of God's Holy Spirit right now. I'm speaking about the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, up until this point, perhaps your decisions have been what you wanted, what you felt, how you thought. But I want to remind you today that Jesus Christ came to this world. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for your sin so that you could make a decision to trust Him as your Savior. Now, this is a decision that you will make one way or another. You will either receive Christ or you'll turn off this television or computer right now and get on with the rest of your activities of the evening. But the Bible is very clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was God's decision for you. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's your decision for God. You must make that decision yourself. You must decide that Christ died for your sin, and that you cannot save yourself, and that you want to trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you from your sin, the shedding of his blood, and that you will turn to him to be your Savior. That's the most important decision we ever make in life. But then there are those of you that have made that decision, and now you have other decisions to make. And you say, but I can't go into the church for an appointment. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. Wait a minute. Be careful that your decisions are bound by the judgment and knowledge of God, that you are approving what is excellent by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And don't move one inch until you have the complete peace of God. I'm talking about that peace that came over your heart when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, that kind of peace. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I pray you get that peace tonight. But if you have that salvation peace, then don't move outside of the directing will of God for your life. Right now, I want to have a word of closing prayer with you. And if you've been watching tonight and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you. Why don't you turn to Christ tonight? Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you like to know that you have everlasting life? Would you like to know that Christ is your personal Savior? If you would, I would encourage you to pray tonight and call out to Jesus. You can pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in a church. Jesus, I'm turning to you and trusting only in you to be my Savior. Did you pray that prayer? Did you mean that in your heart, to call out to Christ, trusting in Him alone as your personal Savior? If you did, I want to encourage you to let me know about it. Why don't you let me know about it tonight? Just right there on the screen, you can text me, you can email me, you can press the button that says, I've accepted Christ. We want to follow up with you and send you some materials that will help you in your walk with Christ. And then, if you're already saved, let me ask you this question. Have you been kind of having that escapist thought process of, well, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. So-and-so did this. Have you been even entertaining imaginations that need to be cast down tonight? Do you need to come back to God and say, God, I need knowledge and judgment. I need the discernment of your Spirit and of your Word. I don't want to come through this COVID-19 going off in some completely crazy direction. If that's the case, would you lay your will down before the Father tonight? And would you say to Him, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I want to pray for you tonight that you'll stay on track during this time, that you'll be a loving person, but that your love will have boundaries, biblical guidance from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, I want to pray for those who have accepted you as Savior this day and even this hour, that you would bless and guide them. Help them to respond to us here tonight. I want to pray for those who know you as Savior, but their decision-making process has been more emotionally based than spiritually based. Help them to lay down their thoughts and their emotions and seek your guidance tonight. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen.